नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट 4 टू टेक्स्ट 7। टेक्स्ट 4 तस्याः प्रादुर्भूतात् भगवानादिपुरुषः पीतवाश्च चतुर्बाहु शंखचक्र गदाधर। ट्रांसलेशन। माय डियर किंग, द ओरिजिनल सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, ड्रेस्ड इन येलो गारमेंट्स एंड बेरिंग अ कॉन्क शेल, डिस्क, क्लब एंड लोटस इन हिज फोर हैंड्स, देन अपीयर्ड बिफोर अदिति। सो सिंस दिस वर्स डजंट हैव अ पर्पट, वील गो टू टेक्स्ट 5, 6 एंड 7। तम नेत्र गोचरम वीक्ष्य सहस्रोत्थाय सादरम ननाम्भुवि कायेन दन्वत प्रीति विह्वला। When the supreme personality of Godhead became visible to Aditi's eyes, Aditi was so overwhelmed by transcendental bliss that she at once stood up and then fell to the ground like a rod to offer the Lord her respectful obeisances. Sothaya badhanjali riditum sthitam notse ananjala kulekshana babhuvatushnim pulukakulakriti taddarshanat utsat savagatra vepathu. Aditi stood silently with folded hands, unable to offer prayers to the Lord. Because of transcendental bliss, tears filled her eyes and the hairs on her body stood on end. Because she could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, she felt ecstasy and her body trembled. Prityashaner gadgadaya girahareem tushtavasa devyadati hikurudvaha उद्वीक्षति सापि पतिव चक्षुषा रमापतिम यज्ञपतिम जगतपतिम। ओ महाराज परीक्षित, द डेमी गॉडेस अदिति देन बिगैन ऑफरिंग हर प्रेयर्स टू द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड इन अ फॉल्टरिंग वॉइस एंड विद ग्रेट लव। शी अपेयर्ड एज द ड्रिंकिंग थ्रू हर आईज द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड हु इज द हस्बैंड ऑफ गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्चून, द एंजॉयर ऑफ ऑल सैक्रिफिशियल सेरेमनीज एंड द मास्टर एंड लॉर्ड ऑफ एंटायर यूनिवर्स। Purport by Srila Prabhupada. After observing the Payavrat, Aditi was certain that the Lord had appeared before her as Ramapati, the husband of all good fortune, just to offer her sons all opulence. She had performed the Yajna of Payavrat under the direction of her husband Kashyap, and therefore she thought of the Lord as Yajnapati. She was completely satisfied to see the Master and the Lord of entire universe come before her to fulfill her desires. Krishna. So I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. So the context of this verse is that Aditi, the mother of demigods, she is doing a Payavrat ceremony to get the favor of Lord for the protection of her sons who have been defeated by the demons. So at this stage, right before her, at the completion of her fast, appears the Supreme Lord, which is described in this verse, wearing yellow garments, holding Shankh Chakra Gada in his hand. So, this is a very interesting verse, and based on this, we'll be discussing some features of Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Bhagavan form and the beauty of Lord Krishna. So, in the modern age, when we begin preaching to an average person, the first principle we have to start is, does God exist? Like, we had a big program in Sion Hospital, and one boy came to me after the program and he said, you know which is the fastest growing religion in the world? So I was thinking, it used to be Hare Krishna's, but not anymore. So he said, atheism. So I was pretty surprised. I mean, how this can be a religion with when there is no God? So, but Prabhupada's standard argument for existence of God is the presence of design in this world. How everything is running smoothly, everything is being created without any external man-made intervention. So even if when you come to other religions, which although are theistic in outlook, but still their concept of God is at the most like a formless entity. Like some religions they call it Jyoti or Noor, that is light, and or some kind of force or spirit. For example, in Judaism, which is a precursor of Christianity and Islam, their founder Moses, he was 80 years old when he was trying to work for the benefit of his people who were being oppressed in Egypt. So he went to a mountain and he found a very interesting sight, that there was a fire in a bush. But strangely, although there was fire, but the bush was not being burned. So he went there and the divine voice came that you are at a holy place, remove your sandals, offer obeisances. And then he got some revelations. So this is their idea. That's why they have fire temple and all. So the maximum these people they can afford is, imagine some kind of peace. Even in Vedic scriptures we have this concept of Brahman realization. So these followers, they generally want some kind of peace, shanti. So we'll discuss how, although shanti or peace is a good goal, but this is not the ultimate. So in Bhagavatam, first chapter, first canto, it is described, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam addavyam brahmeti parmatmeti bhagavaniti shabdate. That the Supreme God can be understood in three forms. Brahman, which is unmanifested, unembodied, formless, like what you call nirakar, nirvishesh, swarup. And that is, then is Paramatma, the 400 form of Lord which is there in the heart. And then there is Bhagwan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is a big argument always whenever you go for preaching or book distribution. People say, what is God, formless or form? So Chaitanya Charan Prabhu recently wrote a very interesting article saying that how God is a person. So standard arguments which Prabhupada also gives, that God created this world and all of us are persons, so how can God be less than His creation? So God has to be a person. So then people think that form is limiting. So if you give a form to God, that is, we are limiting Him. So he gives very interesting argument. He says, supposing you are sitting in a room. So room has a form and room is limited. But supposing you blow the room with some explosion, there is no form, but still there are debris and they are also limited. So this limitation of form concept is because we are limiting form to matter. So matter is always limiting, but spirit is not. So God is the Supreme Spirit. He can be having a form, but still be unlimited. And He can expand by His energy into all the atoms of this world. That is what Krishna says in Gita. But again, we have certain verses in Vedic scriptures which say that God is arup. Arup means He doesn't have any roop or form or body. But this does not mean that God doesn't have a body. This means that God doesn't have a material body. So then He describes that what is the definition of body basically. So generally when we identify body, so it is said that body is different from the soul. Like we have this body, but our soul is different. And body is the product of past karma. Somebody who has good karma will have a good looking healthy body or a human body. And somebody has a bad karma may have body of trees, a body of animals or some other species. Or even if a human body may be suffering from certain propasses like illnesses or debt or cases against him. And third thing is that body tends to degrade soul. Like although we have the spirit to surrender to Krishna, but because of our senses, the senses drag us towards sense gratification. And the body, just for the bodily pleasure, the person tends to do abominable things and the soul is degraded. Like Lord Jesus says in Bible that spirit is strong but flesh is weak. So this is the limitation of body. And body has to be given up in due course of time. But when we see about God, then all these definitions of body, they don't come up to Him. Why? Because Krishna's body and Krishna's soul, they are same. So example is given of a sugar doll. Sugar from outside, sugar from inside. There is no difference. And there is no past karma for Krishna. So His body is not product of past karma. And body doesn't tend to degrade soul. In cases of Krishna, He is always elevated beyond the three modes. And it has to be given up in due course of time, which is not seen in Krishna, because his body is transcendental and does not decay. And all the time it maintains its youthful form. So Prabhupada mentions that in first canto, first chapter, first verse, that when Mayavadi is overly stressed on the impersonality of absolute truth. So impersonality of absolute truth is there in Vedic scriptures. God is simultaneously having form and also formless. But if we overstress the impersonality that God does not have form, then there is undue impetus to material and mundane sex life. Why? Because when our eyes don't accept the beautiful form of Lord Krishna as an absolute truth and don't become attracted to it, we'll be attracted to the attractive forms of this material world. And when we are attracted to these forms which are temporary, then they appeal to us and then we degrade. So on the other hand, if we attach our attention to the beauty of God, then we'll always be in safe position. Like if you go to our Delhi temple in Kailash Colony, so behind it is a famous temple, Lotus Temple. So the specialty of that temple is that you go in the temple, but there is no altar, no deity. So you have to be very silent, peaceful. So this community is called Bahai community. So once I was traveling to some place and one nice boy was sitting before me. So I had some books, I showed him. And of all books, I had Nectar of Instruction. So we were just doing Bhakti Shastri at that time. And I straight away opened Radha Kund and showed him. So the first thing he asked me, is this a real place or a like metaphorical place? So then I thought, I think I should come back to basics, that you're not this body. First we'll deal with that. So he belonged to this Baha'i community and very intelligent and very dedicated person. He gave me very interesting definitions. What is my religion? Religion is something which helps me come closer to God. But it's a very interesting definition. Nice. So then we had discussion, okay, you are good, I am good. But finally came to the point that how do you serve God? So their idea is to serve God by serving humanity. Then I said, no, but actually how do you serve God? You can serve, but that is indirect. So what is the direct method? So here we got confused because there is no understanding of form of God, deity of God. So how do you directly serve God? So this is the major difference which comes between the path of bhakti and other paths. Because bhakti gives rise to the personality of God, and unless until we have personality of God, a second person, we cannot love. There cannot be love. One cannot love oneself, like mother and child, they are two, so that's why there is love. And Tukaram Maharaj explains, a tree cannot eat its own fruit. It is one. So when the fruit are given to somebody else, then that reciprocation takes place. So that is the point of love. That's what makes bhakti higher than other paths. Because unless that loving tendency is satisfied, the soul is not fulfilled. So nowadays there is a lot of trend of Sufism. So somebody was telling me about a Sufi poet called Bhulle Shah. He was there in region of Pakistan, Punjab. And many modern singers and all, they are quoting these songs. So they are a sort of, some say deviation or some say the actual heart of Islam. So these people have a tendency, the ultimate, their understanding is also to love God. But then the God they love is also nirakar, formless. So that makes it very funny. So although they may dance, they may spin around, move their heads like this and try to get some ecstasy, but unless until that form of God is there, that beauty is there, it's very difficult to go ahead. So that's where the revelations given in Gita and Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they come into picture. So there are three kind of forms which are described, although there are different varieties, but I'll be covering three. The forms of Lord, the Virat Roop, the Chaturbhuj Roop, and the Dvibhuj, that is a two-armed Roop of Krishna. So Virat Roop is described in third canto, sixth chapter, conversation between Vidur and Maitreya Rishi. So it is described that when Supreme Lord creates Mahat Tattva, that is the primordial matter, Then this matter divides into different classifications, like air, water, earth. These things are created. And all the demigods of these individual elements, they enter into Mahatattva. But still they are not able to actually start creation. So then they pray to the Supreme Lord. And when the Supreme Lord enters into this matter, this form it is called as Virat Roop. And then everything starts activating. He's like the electric current by which the mixer starts moving, and actually whatever juices and whatever you want to make start creating. So although this form is material, just like the deity form, you may say it is made of matter. And it is Virat Roop is not eternal form of Lord. But still, Prabhupada describes, it is non-different. It is not different from the eternal form. It is the same. So there are very interesting features of this Virat Roop which are given in Bhagavatam. And this Virat Roop is also discussed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 11. And we'll also cover that. So in the eyes, the sun enter, and that gives eyesight. In the mouth, Agni, and which gives words. Then in the nostrils, Ashwini Kumar, which give the sensation of smell. In the skin, the Vayu, which gives rise to touch. Ears, very interesting. Here they say the demigods of direction enter. So only the modern medical man, they know that there is inner ear, which actually determines the direction. Although most of the people, they consider ear to be a function of hearing, but inner ear also takes care of direction, and it's a very microscopic study. So interestingly, Bhagavatam mentions that the demigods of direction enter into here. So in the genitals, Prajapati, in the hands, Indra, in the mind enters moon, and that gives rise to the mental process, and in the intelligence, Brahmaji, and in the false ego, Rudra. And the body of this Virat Roop, the head is the heavenly planet, the legs is the earthly planet, and in between is the place where sky exists. And that is the place where associates of Rudra stay. And in the heavenly planets, demigods stay. And also from this body, it is described that from the head, Brahmans come, from the hands, Kshatriyas, hands and arms, and from thighs, the Vaishyas, and from the legs, Shudras appear. So same vision is described to Arjun in Bhagavad Gita when he requests Krishna to describe the form in which he enters into the material world. So Arjuna describes that it's a very gigantic form with unlimited heads, arms, thighs, stomach, with beautiful decorated with necklaces, celestial garlands, divine scents and helmets. And most disturbingly, he sees big giant mouth with large protruding teeth, and all the armies, Kaurava Pandava armies, even some of his favorite relatives, they're going inside that mouth and being crushed. Thousands of suns they arise, and the intense light is there. Whole universe, all demigods, Brahma, Shiva, they're present in that body. So Arjuna becomes really trembled after seeing this, and he says, Drashta Kralani, Dramshta Kralani, Chate Mukhani. That this appearance is very terrible. And adrishta purvam rishato asmi drishtam. That although I have seen and I am happy, but bhayencha pratyavathitam manome. But I am very vyathit. I have been very disturbed by seeing this. So then he says, now kindly show me your Soumya Roop. So this shows that Virat Roop, although it is the manifestation of Lord, and when we compare to other religions or other paths, this form itself is so drastic and so brilliant that no other realization can come closer to it. And still Arjuna is saying that this is not the topmost, I am scared. Like Prabhupada says in one lecture, that how can you worship Virat Roop? How can you dress Virat Roop? I mean, all the textile mills, they'll fall short. They can't produce such a cloth covering universes. So although it is like, okay, for people who are attracted to Brahman realization, but for devotees, it's very scary. Imagine in the sleep, we are getting dreams of Gopinath, but if Virat Roop comes, we'll be screaming out. So then he says, please show your Deva Roopam, Taneta Roopam, Chaturbhujena. So this Chaturbhuj Roop, Arjun request Krishna to show. And Krishna says, don't worry, this is my ghor roop, now I'll show you my soumya roop. And very interesting word is used, sudurdarsham. Sudurdarsham. So Prabhupada says that this is very rare form which Krishna is going to show to Arjun. It is so rare that even demigods they cannot see it. So the proof is that when Mother Devaki, she is pregnant with Krishna, so at that time all the demigods they come and offer prayers. And Prabhupada writes that although they could not see Krishna at that time because he was in the womb, they were waiting there. So then finally Krishna shows the four-armed form and then shows the two-armed form by which Arjuna is finally pacified and happy. So, some more examples are given which show that the two-armed form is actually full of more rasas. Actually, there is no difference, but still it is considered higher. So, in 10th canto, it is described that there was a Brahman in Dwarka whose sons, as soon as they were born, they would just disappear and die. So, Arjuna vows to protect him, but even he can't save. Then Krishna and Arjun, they go and search for those dead boys and finally they come to Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu describes that why he was kidnapping those boys, just because he wanted to see the two-armed form of Krishna. So that is the beauty of Krishna. And here it is described Ramapatin, that Rama, although she is a wife of Narayan, but even Lakshmiji wants to enter into the Ras Leela to see the beautiful body of, beautiful darshan of Lord Krishna. And she is doing tapasya in Vrindavan. Another episode describes that when Krishna disappeared from Ras Leela, the gopis were looking for Krishna and Krishna disguised himself in four-handed form and Vishnu form. And the gopis came and the goal of people's life is to see Krishna, Vishnu. And gopis came and they said, oh, Vishnuji, my obeisance to you. Have you seen Krishna? Because they were more eager to see Krishna than Vishnu. And Vishnu, okay, Krishna, like, tell them, go right, go left, like this. But when Radharani came, Krishna got so bewildered that the two arms disappeared. They dropped down. So it shows that devotees, they get more pleasure in seeing the two-armed form of Krishna. So the beauty of Krishna is described very nicely in Bhagavatam and other scriptures. It is said, the lotus feet, and the meditation is also given in third canto by Kapil Dev. About son of Devahuti, that how we take darshan of Krishna, that it's not that we directly see Krishna face to face, but we begin from the lotus feet. So it is described that the lotus feet, the soles are reddish with very auspicious marks, and then the thighs, they are just like trunks of elephants. There is yellow dhoti which is shining like lightning. There is a belt, strong arms which extend up to the knees. And they're very powerful. They're just like columns in a palace. There's a handsome broad chest. And then he's wearing a beautiful forest flower garland, a necklace of pearl. And then his strong hands which are playing the flute, the nails are just like moons. And their soft hands are also reddish tinged with very auspicious marks. Krishna's face is described as full moon. And there's a peacock feather which is just like a rainbow. And long curly black hair. And then the color of Krishna is described like a blue lotus flower, or blue sapphire, or an ever-enchanting tamal tree, or like black clouds. His form is three-fold bending, tribhang, and eyes, they move around here and there, and they capture the hearts of the gopis, and is eternally youthful. So this is the beauty of Krishna, which is described in the scriptures. And also Mahaprabhu describes that this beauty is very enchanting. So one of the four features of Krishna which make him superior to even Narayan and other forms of manifestations of Vishnu, one is Rup Madhurya, others are Leela Madhurya, Venu Madhurya and Prem Madhurya. So Rup Madhurya is that his beauty is ultimate. So it is described that all of us, we are attracted by the Cupid in this material world. So in Vrindavan there is a place which is called as Madante. There, when Krishna was sporting with gopis, Cupid himself came to attract Krishna. But when he saw the beauty of Krishna, he fell unconscious, captured by lust. So it is said that Cupid has five arrows. They are form, taste, smell, touch and sound. And by these five arrows, he captures the heart. But it is said that Krishna, he has these five arrows fully loaded in his quiver. So nobody can escape. And even beauty of Krishna is so tremendous that when Krishna sees his own beauty, he becomes bewildered. He becomes captivated. So Lord Chaitanya also describes his beauty to Sanatana Goswami in Madhya Leela. And he describes how the gopis, they curse Brahmaji because he created these eyes which blink and they are unable to see the beauty of Krishna. Krishna dekhi nana jana kaile nimesh nindana vrajavide ninde gopi gana. Sai sab shloka padi mahaprabhu artha kare sukhe madhurya kare aswadanam. After seeing Krishna, various people criticize the blinking of their eyes. In Vrindavan especially, all the gopis criticize Lord Brahma because of this defect in the eyes. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and explained them vividly, thus enjoying the taste of transcendental sweetness with great happiness. Yasya ananam makar kundala charu karna brajet kapola subagham savilas hasam nityotsavam nat tripte drishabhipi bhyanto naryo narascha mudita kupita nimischa. So it is said that just by seeing the beautiful face of Krishna, yasya ananam makar kundal, with having shark shaped earrings and charu karna and beautiful hair and ears. And then Nitya Otsvam, that is a festival, eternal festival, Drishabhi Pibhyanto, and they drink the beauty of Krishna through their eyes. But then these gopis and other Brajvasis, they curse Brahmaji because he created this eyelid which blinks and they are unable, their meditation, their drinking, their feasting is disturbed. I mean, we get bored by seeing Krishna, but that is their level. We can see how far we have to go. So now there is very interesting comparison of Krishna's beauty with moon is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Sakhi hai Krishna mukha dvij raj Krishna vapu simasane vasi rajya shasane kare sange chandre rasamaj.
The face of Krishna is the king of all moons and the body of Krishna is the throne. There is a king who owns a society of moons.
Dui ganda suchikana jinamani sudirpana sei dui puna chandra jani lalate ashtami indu tahate chandana bindu sei eka puna chandra mani.
Krishna's has two cheeks and they are compared to shine like glowing gems and both are considered full moons. His forehead is considered half moon and the beautiful tilak is considered full moon. And the tilak is made of sandalwood pulp. Now you can calculate how many moons are there in Krishna's body.
Karanaka chandera hata vamsi upar kare nata taragita murlira tana padanaka chandra gana talekare naratana nuparera dhvaniyana gana.
They say his fingernails are many moons and the dance on the flute on his hand. Their song is the melody of that flute. And his toenails are also many full moons and they dance on the ground. And their song is the jingling, that is Nupurera Dhvani, jingling of the ankle bells. So how many moons are there? 24 and a half. So can you, like 10 of the hand, 10 of the feet and one full moon face, two cheeks and forehead, half forehead and tilak. Nice calculation. Probably he read it before. And so then further his face is described.
Nache makar kundala netra lila kamala vilasi raja satat nachaya brudhanu netra bana dhanargana dui kana narimana lakshe vindhetayam.
Krishna's face is an enjoyed king. That full moon face makes his shark-shaped earrings and lotus eyes dance. His eyebrows are like bows and his eyes are like arrows.
His ears are fixed on the string of that bow, and when his eyes spread to his ears, he pierces the hearts of the gopis.
So, like this very beautiful description is given of Krishna's beauty. So, in one lecture of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he was describing that our heart is covered with ignorance, the cloud of ignorance, and it is full of darkness. So only when in our dark heart, the beautiful moon like Lord Krishna, Lord Gaurachandra, Ramchandra, Krishna Chandra, when they'll arise in the horizon of our heart, only then the darkness of ignorance will be vanquished and we can actually see the light of God. So Krishna's complexion is also compared to monsoon cloud. So Maharaj explained that the whole world is suffering due to the fire of material existence, sansara davanal. And only when this dark cloud of Krishna, Ghanshyam, not the white cloud, because white cloud has no water, but the dark cloud of Krishna, when it arises in the horizon of this world and inundates with the rain of its mercy, only then this material existence will get nullified. And not just this Krishna, but there are also many special forms of Lord by which devotees are very much attracted. We have Narsingdev, Vamandev, Varadev, and we have Shadbhuj Mahaprabhu and Hamsavtar, various forms of Dashavtar. So all these forms are there, and devotees, they meditate on them, they imbibe them in their hearts, and by that constant meditation, they feel enriched and fulfilled. But how to see this form also, Krishna describes in the 11th chapter of Gita. He says, Naham Veder na tapsa na dane na chejaya shakyam evam vidham drishtam drishta vanasi mayatha. Not by Vedas, not by tapasya, not by charity and not by offering worship can you see my form. Then how can you see? Bhaktyata vannavaya shakya aham ev vidho Arjuna. That only by bhakti you can know me, and only by that bhakti you can enter my mystery. So it is not that simply we can see God with our material eyes, but only when Krishna gives us this vision. So we have this form of deities which Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have created. And the example is given of Ramanujacharya, that once he saw a man who was totally enamored by the beauty of a worldly woman, and he brought him and showed him the beautiful darshan of Lord Ranganath, and his attraction for all the mundane beauty of this world vanished. So similarly, if we keep the beauty of Lord, we come daily morning, take darshan, meditate on the form of Lord, see from the lotus feet above to the lotus face, and keep that form of Lord enshrined in the chambers of our heart, and whole day we are meditating on that. So as we assimilate the form of Lord, it will be there in our heart and we purify it. Just like it is described by Hamsavtar in Canto 11, Uddhav Gita, that sense objects, although they may lie externally, but just by vision and by observing them by senses, these sense objects enter into our heart. And although we may not be in direct touch with them, just because they are in our heart, they are doing their job and they are making us lusty. Similarly, if we replace the sense objects by the beautiful form of Krishna, which is Kandarpa Koti Kamniya Vishesha Rupam, that this is most attractive than thousands of cupids, by keeping this form enshrined in our heart, we'll be free from all the attractions of this material world. And in conclusion, there's a beautiful prayer of Srila Rupa Goswami where he says that, O friend, if you are attached to your mundane material relatives, then don't look at the threefold bending form of Govinda, who is playing his flute at the bank of Keshi Ghat. Because once you see him, everything will be finished. So now for all of us, it's too late. Our material life is almost, by Krishna's mercy, coming to an end, hopefully, in this lifetime. And the more we enshrine the beautiful form of Lord Gopinath in our heart, he's our only master, we are sure that nothing else of this world can touch us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments? जय ग्रंथ श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय